So now let's talk about some of our least favorite comic book movies.
Oh my god, this because, list could be so long.
Yeah, for as many good ones,
there's 10 times more bad ones.
Yeah, it turns out that, like, as I'm trying to research this, I'm like, actually, it's kind of hard to come up with a list of, like, favorites, because most of them I'm either indifferent towards or I downright dislike. So, Adam, hit us with one.
Well, now here's my question, okay?
All right.
Now, I took this from three standpoints. My first list I made was movies that were given a ton of money and are just awful.
Okay.
Then there was a second one where they're bad, but they're not big budget. Okay. All right. And then there's a combined list of both of those.
Okay.
So,
I think I know where you're going with bad without budget. Are you talking about, like, the shit that we would get bootlegged at the
you can only find it bootlegged at the
The Roger Corman Fantastic Four.
Exactly. Yes, that's really bad.
Right, it's bad, and I ended up not including stuff like that just because they didn't have the resources. It didn't get a wide release. You know, I was thinking more, but hit us with something besides that one.
Okay, I put for my number five worst one of all time is X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yes, absolutely.
I went to the midnight show of that. It was one of those things that I'm a teacher, so I had the summer off. It came out in the summer. I was all by myself.
Yeah.
And I could not have hated that more. When you saw the trailer, it was one of those things where you start to see that this is not somebody who loves comics doing this movie. This is a bunch of producers putting this together.
Right.
And you
knew from the title.
Yeah.
X-Men Origins Wolverine. Like, just either call the movie Wolverine. Like, who are you trying to fill in here?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and then you see the trailer and it's like, ooh, there's Cyclops. Ooh, there's White Queen. Ooh, there's
Gambit.
They're only in it. And, like, Gambit's thrown in there.
Right.
Like, to put Gambit in the movie.
Exactly.
Right.
It's just they're only in it like as fan service.
Yeah. Right. They're only in it at the end.
Yep.
Really. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool.
It's like, awful.
Yeah.
Who's Deadpool's a great character. Like, what's great about him in the comic book is he's really the only comic book guy that kind of, he realizes he's a comic book character.
Right.
Like, you're reading his life.
Right.
And he gets it and kind of talks to you as the viewer sometimes, which is really, really interesting. But oh my god, it's just so terrible and so just, I didn't like anything about that movie.
No, I didn't either. No, I don't think a second of that movie that I like.
And as a comic book fan, I was very interested to see a solo Wolverine movie and, you know, one that goes over his origin.
See, I was not interested in an origin movie because, again, the interesting thing to me about Wolverine is we don't know, and he doesn't either. So then we spend 2 hours where we find out, and then, but we have to be where we started with X-Men, where he doesn't know anything, so of course he gets shot with memory bullets. But, like, he doesn't. I'm with you on a solo Wolverine story, which it sounds like what the Aronofsky Wolverine was going to be. But I think an origin story is a mistake because I think the more we know, the less interesting he is.
You know, I have to give. Oh my god, who's the guy who's the editor for Marvel right now? Oh my god,
Joe Quesada.
Joe Quesada, that's right, Quesada. When he did, I have to give him total props on this one, and there's not a lot of times I'm going to give Joe Quesada props, but when he came out with X-Men Origin, the comic book, Wolverine, or just called Origin, a lot of people were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing this? Like, we love
because
that we
of
don't
Bone have... Claws.
Yeah, and he came out and said, like, in an interview, hey, we're doing this because if we don't, Hollywood's going to do it.
Right.
And we want ours to be the one that everybody, we want the definitive
one. Turns out they both did it.
Yeah.
Fuck them both.
And honestly, the origin is actually pretty good. It's
Bone Claws.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's not good. Bone Claws.
Okay.
Bone Claws and Sticky Bombs. Patrick cannot get past either one.
Because they kept Bone Claws in the movie. And it's like, no. The whole point was that these were put in him, right? Yeah. These are not something that he was born with. I thought his mutant ability was his healing factor, not his claws. But nope, Bone Claws. For a movie that costs $150 million, X-Men Origins has shockingly terrible special effects. Terrible.
Awful.
And I feel for Hugh Jackman because he did everything he could to, like, drag that movie to success, but it is
a mess.
It is terrible. I can't watch 5 minutes of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. Agree. Good call.
Very good call. I had a long list. Let's go with Ghost Rider.
Okay.
That was bad.
I don't even know what to say about Ghost Rider. I'm a fan. I wouldn't be allowed on this podcast if I didn't like Nick Cage. I really like Nick Cage. I know he's a big comic book fan. Maybe this is what it boils down to. Ghost Rider is a cool character if you're a 12-year-old boy
right.
who likes motorcycles and flaming skulls.
He looks cool.
Right.
But that's it.
Exactly. But, man, that movie, I watched that with Adam and our friend Nick, and I'll watch even bad movies. I have to finish them. I have to give them my full attention,
yeah.
and I have to finish them, even if it takes me a week.
We were like, on the internet.
Like, oh, my God, we found any excuse not to watch yeah. that movie.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I saw it opening weekend, and I really hated it. Yeah. And I have since seen it again, and I don't hate it as much because I know what to expect now. So okay. I'm able to, like, find things that I not like, but like, okay, it has this and it has this. But I agree. I don't think Ghost Rider works as a character in a movie, really, unless you treat it sort of like the Hulk. But you can't really. Having said that, I'm super excited for the Neville Dean Taylor one.
No, yeah, well, you love Neville Dean Taylor.
Because it's going to be crazy. I hope it's going to be crazy.
Back up. They're making another Ghost Rider movie?
Yeah. Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Yes.
You know, the problem is that these studios have to make a movie every couple of years. Otherwise, the rights revert back to Marvel. So which that's why they keep
Roger
rebooting
Corman,
shit.
The Roger exactly. Corman Fantastic Four. Okay.
So they keep rebooting shit. That's why Sony's making another Spider-Man, because it's like, well, we'll lose the rights if we don't make Spider-Man 4, so let's just, you know, trim the budget back and reboot it. And that's why we're getting another Ghost Rider movie, so that I think Sony can retain the rights
why
to Ghost
would you
Rider.
Why would you want those rights? Like,
Ghost Rider made a shitload of money. Ghost Rider made over $100 million.
Are you serious?
It absolutely did. It was a huge hit. And that's the guy that did Daredevil, too. And that guy maybe shouldn't be allowed near comic book movies anymore. I mean, he's a big comic book fan. But, mm-hmm. like, he, again, you could see ideas sort of that he's trying to make it more of kind of a Western. Nicolas Cage is not particularly compelling in the movie. Eva Mendes, yeah, right? Come on. Eva Mendes is downright horrible.
She's horrible.
Wes Bentley is unbelievably bad. Uh-huh. Peter Fonda's okay.
Yeah.
Sam Elliott's fine, but it has no purpose in the movie. And at one point, he's just like, I'm going to go on one last ride, dude. And then he's like, here's where I stop. And then he turns around and goes home while Ghost Rider continues. So why did we have to watch that? So we could see a horse and a motorcycle drive side by side?
It'll look really cool in the trailer.
Oh, my gosh. So I have to admit that I'm interested in the prospect of another Ghost Rider movie.
See, but I think it's not gonna be successful. Now, maybe we can go back and re-listen to this, you know, when it finally comes out and it's awesome. But I think there's two Marvel characters that they keep making movies for that I don't think will ever be in a good movie, and that's Punisher and Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Because Punisher and Ghost Rider, I loved when I was 12 years old.
Right.
Because they were awesome. But when you read them as an adult,
right.
you're like, these Ghost Rider is not interesting.
No.
Punisher is not interesting.
It's a revenge story. There's not much character depth to it at all.
So in Ghost Rider, for me, it was just like, I don't think it ever could have been good.
I think you can make an interesting Punisher movie, but you can make an interesting PG-13 Punisher movie.
Oh, definitely. Okay, that I agree with, yes.
Well, you saw Punisher Warzone, right?
And that's not good. I'm not saying that's all.
Went for the hard R.
Right, exactly. But I think that's
and I think Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance is going to be the Punisher war zone of Ghost Rider movies. That it's just going to be embrace the craziest shit about the character and about the comic book. And maybe I'm wrong, and maybe it'll be horrible. I don't think a lot of people are going to go see it, you know, because I think even the people that did see Ghost Rider, which really they saw again because it was a comic book movie at sort of things were starting to peak. But I don't think people really liked it, so why would they go see another one, you know? I don't know. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe it'll be a huge hit, but
I wouldn't root against it. I'd love to see a good Ghost Rider movie.
But, well, that's the thing is, like, as they keep rebooting these, and I'm not for reboots, but sequels are fine if for no other reason, especially when they get shit wrong the first time, when they kind of blew the Punisher the first time, you're like, yeah, I'll see another one because maybe this person will get it right. And same with Hulk. And same with Ghost Rider. And
because people have done it in the past, right, so maybe this one will do
they're it. They're rebooting Daredevil for the same reason, so they don't lose the rights. And it's like, okay, let's see how they do it this time, you know? Maybe this will be the good one. And the only time really that's worked, I think, is with Hulk. But we shall see. You know, mine are all just so easy. Catwoman, you know.
Oh, awful.
Right. Can you even call it a superhero movie? I don't know.
Yeah, like, that is the most unsuperhero movie there has ever been.
It's insanely terrible. Why? I don't know why they decided she needed her own movie, especially one that exists completely independently of the Batman universe.
There is nothing at all related to the Batman universe in it.
I'm not saying you can't make an interesting movie about Catwoman, but that was not the movie. And, you know, again, it was one of those things, as soon as you saw the costume design, you were like, well, this is going to be a piece of shit. And boy, was it. Erica and I went to see that movie on our honeymoon.
Because
where we were staying, we went to the movie theater every day because it was in walking distance. And it wasn't, we weren't even trying to be like ironic. We're just like, well, let's check it out. I don't know, 10 minutes in, Erica went to sleep, didn't fall asleep. Like, there's something better to do, and it's sleeping. And I'll never forget, she woke up in a scene where Catwoman is becoming Catwoman, and there's a giant CGI cat. Like, it's just a close up of this giant cat face. And she, like, woke up and laughed at that and then went back to sleep.
You remember more of this movie than I do.
That's all I remember because it was such a funny image. Like, looking at her. What must she be thinking as she opens her eyes and there's a cartoon cat on screen and she just laughs and goes back to sleep? That's all I remember. And Sharon Stone being terrible. And it's just, it's an insane.
I don't even remember what it's about. Like,
I don't either. Just hating it's just like face cream. There's something with face cream.
And a horribly offensive gay best friend.
I don't remember that, but that sounds right.
Like a gay guy that she works with. I remember thinking like, oh, that's no. Awfully offensive, but
yeah, it was insanely bad. And Halle Berry has the dubious honor of playing two terrible comic book characters, Storm in the X-Men series and Catwoman. Maybe she shouldn't make comic book movies. That's a theory. Maybe she should make Jinx.
Yeah, I was
the Bond spinoff. Adam, what do you got next?
I have, well, Catwoman was my number four.
Okay,
so I'm going to jump up to my number three.
Okay,
which is Fantastic Four: Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Okay,
interesting. I was going with that next.
I
wrote Fantastic Four: Rise of SS, which could have been more interesting.
We'll get to another one, which is my number one. But there are a few. Like, I don't know if there was a single person who has ever read a comic book anywhere near this movie.
Yeah,
like it has. It's the worst, but
I don't think it's the worst.
Well, there's one part that I remember. Even there's one part where I thought, okay, when I saw the trailer, and the trailer was simply just Johnny Storm jumping off, yelling "Flame on!" and chasing after Silver Surfer.
Right.
And that was the trailer, and I was like, wow, that looks all right. Even though it kind of changed Silver Surfer's powers a little bit. Okay, whatever. I'm gonna go with it. Right. But wow, that movie's bad.
Yeah.
And just the worst dialogue and the most offensive thing as a comic book fan was turning Galactus into
Galactus a cloud.
Fucking cloud.
Yeah.
He's a cloud.
Yeah.
I told Adam that I want to go to a con dressed as a cloud.
And you were the Galactus. First one who said something to us.
Oh,
like, because we hadn't seen it yet.
Oh, okay.
And you saw it and you were like, yeah, Galactus.
Get ready for Galactus
like,
cloud. Yeah.
And I'm like, you're like, he's a cloud. And we're like, no, you can't be serious. No,
I want to see a buddy movie with Galactus cloud and Nick Nolte bubble. Watch them try to take over. Watch them try. Maybe that could be the villain for the Avengers. I think that movie's terrible, but I think it's marginally better than the first Fantastic Four.
And I would agree maybe for no other reason than I think Silver Surfer's kind of cool.
Yeah, not terrible.
No.
But I mean, doesn't quite get the character right, but doesn't ruin the character. Bringing back Dr. Doom at all is the worst choice. And then to have Johnny Storm have everyone's power at once, and that's how he fights him. I mean, there's stuff in that movie that is so bad. And Fantastic Four is one of those movies that, like, if they said, we're going to do another one, as long as they say, no original cast, no Tim Story.
Okay.
I want to see it.
Right. I completely agree. And I was going to say, with the exception of Johnny Storm, I think the casting in that movie is awful.
Awful.
Horrible.
Awful, awful, awful. Mr. Fantastic is terrible. Fucking Invisible Woman is, you know, Jessica Alba is the worst. Julian McMahon is horrible.
His makeup is... I will even say that I've seen the Roger Corman one, and I think the Thing's makeup in that one is better than it is in this multi-million-dollar Fantastic.
And that movie gets he gets a pass for some reason. Everybody says Chris Evans is fine, and Chiklis gets a pass too. Like the only things they got right were the Thing and Johnny Storm. No. Like no. Chiklis is terrible. The voice he does is bad. He's too short. The makeup is the worst. The character is badly written. You know, originally they announced Fantastic Four, and a guy named Peyton Reed was going to direct it. And Peyton Reed made Down With Love. And that's a movie I like. And something about the sensibility of Down With Love, that sort of retro feel, I was like, he's going to be great for Fantastic Four. Because I almost expected him to do it sort of as a 60s kind of a thing, almost like they're doing with X-Men First Class now. Yeah. And he's, like, kind of fun, and I thought, that makes sense to me. And then, of course, he left the movie, and... Tim Story, director of Taxi, came on. And that's a movie that, not a single person associated with a comic book. I mean, both of those movies are terrible, but I do think Rise of the Silver Surfer is just slightly better, if only because it's shorter. It's very short.
Yeah. Didn't feel it.
No.
I maybe I'm wrong.
But No. It's terrible. It's terrible.
The worst. I think I'm just so offended by the Galactus thing. Like, I love that character in the comic.
He's a world eater.
Yeah, he eats worlds, and he's just...
You made him a cloud.
Yeah.
Again, Doctor Doom, is an insanely great villain.
Yes,
I totally agree. So great and interesting, and what they reduced him to...
Let's go for a spin!
Surf's Up Metalhead, right? Wasn't that a line?
You saw that, like I said, you saw the movie before we did, and you said, okay, I'm going to tell you that you said Thing takes the surfboard and does he hit Silver Surfer with it? Who does? I don't even remember who he hits with it.
I don't
maybe,
remember.
Maybe do, I don't know. And you said, what does he say? Like, what do you think his dialogue is? Yeah. I was like, surf's up? You're right. Like, exactly. You're like, buddy adds on metalhead.
Right, because that's like the ironic line at the end of Last Boy Scout when they're talking about, like, you got to say something cool. Like, if you hit a guy with a surfboard, you got to say, surf's up.
Right.
And someone took that to heart and was like, oh, I know what he should say. Terrible, terrible. Mike, what's next for you?
I'm bringing this up, one, because I don't like it, two, because I really want to hear Adam discuss it.
Oh, but, here we go.
Hellboy 2. I'm not a fan of Hellboy 2, and I actually like... the first one.
Okay.
But I had a very hard time getting through Hellboy 2. The one-liners in that movie. Like, I am I wrong? Are they making a some sort of, are they trying to say something with those one-liners, or do they believe they're actually funny? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like right. Are they, because they're that awful.
Yeah.
I think the dialogue and the writing in that movie is horrible, and I like the first Hellboy. I don't think it's great. I think it's flawed. But probably the things I forgave in the first movie are completely heightened in the second movie. Specifically,
first
I think
debate here, Bob.
Yeah, and I actively hated it. Like, I could not wait for it to be over. I thought it was just ugly. I didn't want to look at it anymore. I didn't want to listen to it anymore.
It was an ugly movie.
Yeah, and I like,
really.
Yeah, and I'm probably in the minority. Guillermo del Toro is beloved. And
when I saw it in the theater, I was excited about it, and I think I was more leaning towards your reaction.
Okay.
And I've again since seen it again, and now I'm guessing I lean more towards Adam.
And maybe I need to see it again. I saw it the once, and I disliked it so much that I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
With Hellboy. Like, I really had a negative reaction towards it.
Okay.
Hated it.
Mike Mignola, who does the comic book, he's an artist. You read Hellboy. The reason I picked it up was because of Mike Mignola, and I've really grown to like the comic book. And what I love about the comic, I think, was more in the second one than the first one, because the second one to me was more like this otherworldly place, like these messed up characters and just like end of the world stuff that all rest of humanity is not fully aware of. And like, I thought that one to me was more along. That's what I love about the comic. And that's what was in it. Now, does it have terrible one-liners and stuff like that? Absolutely. I think,
but like a terrible performance. Really? I do. I think I hated Hellboy, and I like Hellboy. I read. I'm not an artist, and I don't understand
what changed so much from the first one to the second.
I don't know. I really.
Like, I mean, it's like the same dude playing the same character.
I know. Which maybe what
studios changed? Do you think that's it?
Maybe what surrounded that performance in the first one was I enjoyed more. And maybe it is the same performance and the same dialogue. Maybe for whatever reason, it stuck out more to me the second time around. But I did not like it. And I'm not an artist at all. I have read the Hellboy comics, and I don't understand. I cannot articulate why I enjoy the art, but I do. I really love it visually, and but the movie, I don't think that again for me. I did not translate for me at all. Visually with the second movie, I found it ugly. Like, I wanted to look away.
I think the first Hellboy is a much more sort of accessible movie in that it presents this character and gives you an origin story, and then there's sort of a generic villain who wants to end the world and he has to fight him, and it's every comic book movie we've ever seen. And Hellboy 2, I think, really, like Adam was saying, sort of immerses you in a world that is totally separate from reality. And again, I didn't really like it the first time I saw it. And the second time I saw it, I sort of started to appreciate more what was happening thematically, that it's much more about trying to find a place in a world that has no place for you. That's what the villain sort of is about too. And that they're sort of mirror opposites of one another. And I started to appreciate that more, and it is willing to go to weirder places when they go to that crazy market
that's all just monsters and stuff. Right, just looking around.
And I get why a lot of people, not you, because you're a comic book guy, so
that's,
but why a lot of people would be turned off to that, because it's just too weird for people. Not for you, obviously. You have other reasons for not liking it, but
maybe what I mean, I have no problem with weird, I guess.
Right.
Maybe just this kind of weird was too much for me. It just, I did not respond to it at all. And maybe seeing it again would change things for me.
Yeah. Cause I really had such a similar reaction. I mean, I didn't hate it, but I just was like, oh man, that was a huge disappointment. Yeah. I really didn't like it. And watching it again, I actually am kind of fond of it.
Okay.
So I don't know. All my choices are boring and safe.
Yeah. I think same here from now on.
Elektra. Again, I really like Jennifer Garner, like, a lot, she was
a good-looking lady.
Yeah, she was fine in Daredevil, whatever. Giving her a spinoff was a bad idea, but in the same way that it was with Catwoman, it's like they give her a spinoff that has nothing to do with the world that she comes from, really. Again, they try and introduce, like, oh, there's Typhoid Mary, and there's a couple other people you might recognize, but she's the hero, you know, which isn't that interesting. Elektra's not a hero. She has to, like, train a girl, a young girl. Like, Elektra is, you know, competently made and everything. Its biggest sin is that it's so boring. There are far worse and more offensive superhero movies, but few that are more boring.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
It's just
Roger Ebert had a great line when his Warzone, his Punisher Warzone one. He's like, I remember the days when bad movies were poorly made. He's like, now bad movies are very well made, and Elektra kind of goes along with that. Yeah. Like, there's not visually, it's fine.
Yeah, right. But it's just so dull, and it's just ill conceived. I mean, I get that, like, oh, we have a spinoff, and we have a female superhero, and it's girl power. She has to train the new generation of Elektras or whatever. Boo, hiss, boring, shitty. Next one.
It's funny. I actually put on here, but the I have the JLA pilot from 1997, but I'm not going to that one. I'm going to go with Steel.
Okay, I've never seen Steel. Otherwise, it would probably be on my list. But
it's so bad. It's 2 hours of our life we cannot get back.
Yeah,
it's
all I remember about that movie was
the shaft.
Yes,
part line, right?
Where Richard Roundtree helps make his big, you know, hammer thing. And Richard Roundtree says something like, I'm in Shaft.
Or like, I really like the Shaft.
Yeah,
and it's like, and like,
sounds like a pickup line.
Yeah. And like looks at the camera and you're like, oh, good God.
They play a little bit of Shaft theme. Because I was in Shaft, motherfucker. It's like, no, we got it. We got it 3 hints ago. The 90s were a bad time for comic book movies, obviously, because you had the
Captain America.
Right. But, I mean, it's essentially, you know, the desecration of the Batman franchise and then the occasional steal. Just like, really? You make a comic movie and it's this character played by Shaquille O'Neal and the villain is Judd Nelson, I want to say.
And right? I mean, I'm going to say this, too, and you might disagree with me on this one. The Catwoman costume is awful.
Yes.
But at least it's an attractive woman.
Right.
The Steel costume, right. I'm putting it on my number one list of worst comic book movie costume ever conceived.
You would goof on that guy at Comic-Con. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Yes. Steel dressed like, that
that's
way.
The like, worst oh, Steel costume ever.
Awesome
seen.
Steel costume, dude. But then they put that in a movie on a basketball player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed Steel, so I apologize. But
it's so don't you know? Yeah. It's gonna be good.
I'm just now that I think about it, I'm just gonna cover the year 1997.
Okay,
1997 gave us Steel.
I think my
Bond.
Yeah,
that was mine. That Batman and Robin.
Okay,
all came out in 97.
So that's where we bottomed out until 2000 with X-Men.
I think it is because. Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know where to start with those. Like,
wait a minute.
I think that's the rest of
1997
my
was also the year of the Justice League of America pilot.
Except for one movie. That's the rest of my list.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of... The problem for me talking about these movies is that they're so fucking forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even
Are
know...
Are you sure?
You don't think they're...
No. I mean, I think... Particularly, Batman and Robin is not forgettable.
No, no,
it's aggressively.
Oh, okay.
Terrible.
Spawn is forgettable to me. I don't remember.
Yeah,
anything about Spawn.
I saw it opening day. I had read some of the Tom McFarlane comic book, whatever, but it was more just like it's a comic book movie, so of course I'm going to go opening day. Particularly after reading Roger Ebert's 3.5-star review. And then I went, and man, I'm just like, what am I missing?
I usually go along horrible. With what Ebert says, but I think that was like the first time where I had read one of his stuff and then went and saw his movie, and I was like, I don't know what
we
movie
did
you
not
just
see
watched.
The same movie. And again, he used to be such a sucker for like visuals. It was just if it did something visually, he would be down. You know, he gave The Cell 4 stars. But Spawn, even visually, it's like someone made the effects on a Tandy, just like the giant horned devil. And
the only thing that they get right in that is the Violator. John Leguizamo as the Violator is very... They took the character right out of the comic.
Right.
That's essentially exactly who he is.
But he kind of stops the movie every time he shows up. Like, if memory serves. I haven't seen it since 1997, I don't think. But, and again, it... Can a good Spawn movie be made? I don't know.
No.
Right.
They've been trying. That
The cartoon.
The cartoon's awesome.
Yeah, and I didn't used to watch the cartoon.
The cartoon was pretty cool.
But the
I could see how it would work. But I just, as I was watching it, I was like, I don't see how they could have done this the right way.
No.
But obviously, they did a lot of things the wrong way. But let's talk about Batman and Robin also.
That is my number one worst movie ever.
Yeah.
And that one is... That is a perfect example of what you said is going to happen to comic book movies.
Yeah.
Is right now, we still have people that love comics. They're going along with the comics, but now they're going to think they can do whatever the fuck they want with the comics.
Yeah.
And it's no longer going to be good writers. It's going to be people who are working for the studio. It's going to be producers. That movie, when I think of that movie, I think of me and my brother. We're on a vacation once. Me and my brother just, you know, we're driving to like Wyoming, and me and my brother were talking. Oh, I was like, yeah, they're making another Batman movie, and it's going to have Mr. Freeze in it. You know who the last person I would have ever thought to cast as Mr. Freeze would have been? Would have been Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
Like, I can't imagine that. Why?
Well, again, when I heard that news, I mean, obviously, I was like, oh, that seems odd. But I didn't. Hate it yet because I thought at least they finally will have a villain who poses a physical threat to Batman. Again, I hadn't seen the movie yet, so I didn't know how they were going to play it, because at no point is he even physical in the movie. But it was like, at least there's a big guy that could theoretically beat the shit out of Batman. I obviously was picturing a movie not directed by Joel Schumacher, because that's not an issue. But I was like, okay, size-wise, because, you know, prior to that, he had gone up against Danny DeVito, Jack Nicholson, and Jim Carrey. Like, eh, you could probably take those three. but, man...
That movie is so bad.
I don't know if we'll ever get to that place again, only because the sort of fanboy comic community, internet nerds, whatever, what the three of us are, have enough of a voice now that, again, you almost end up with the other problem, which is X-Men Origins Wolverine, where it's just like they feel like they have to cater to those people so much that they just, here, you like this. You like Gambit, right? Here's Gambit. Whereas as... Batman and Robin was made in like a vacuum where nobody cared about comic books really, you know, in the wide audience. And it was just this progression of just the Batman movies as this separate thing. Maybe we'll get back to that place. I don't know, but that is a terrible movie.
Remember what I said about, Hellboy 2 being a movie I just wanted to look away from?
Yes.
I really mean that about this
movie. And that I get. Hellboy 2, I don't get it as much, but this movie is aggressively ugly and noisy and terrible in every way.
Not to go back to Hellboy 2, but I'm not saying what I saw on the screen for Hellboy 2 doesn't work for maybe even most people. It's just a lot of talent was up on that screen,
right?
And a lot of creativity. I get it. It just didn't work for me. I didn't enjoy it. But what we saw in Batman and Robin. It's just, I don't think that's for anyone.
You don't have anybody in that movie who wanted to make that movie. Like, nobody loved it that.
No, and that's, you watch it and you feel that. Like, you feel like, this movie hates me.
Yeah.
And that's a rare feeling, you know? But even the Fantastic Four movies, I mean, I think they were made by people who were incompetent, but not, like, hateful. They just didn't know what they were doing, and they're sort of without talent. But maybe there were good intentions. I don't know. But Batman and Robin. And, you know, Joel Schumacher sort of cops to some of it. I mean, he says, like, I own the movie that I made. But there were other factors that go into why the movie is the way it is. And a lot of it comes down to selling toys. That's what Batman and Robin was about. It was about selling colorful, decorative toys more than, you know, being a movie, and that's why you get, you know, ice skating Batman. And
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I haven't seen it, but you said correct, like on the DVD, it's got like a fascinating making of documentary, correct?
Or some of what I'm talking about, just Joel Schumacher sort of acknowledging that movie's shortcomings, okay. You know, and he's really the only one who goes on record talking about it, maybe Chris O'Donnell too.
Okay.
Clooney won't have anything to do with it. Schwarzenegger, you know, Uma Thurman embarrassed herself forever with that movie.
That movie, though, to me, there was a very odd moment in just my adolescence with that movie. That is the first movie where it really, it's very gay.
Yeah.
Like not gay as in, like, it's bad, like, it's...
No, like a gay man made this movie.
Yeah, like, and it's...
and made it as gay as he possibly could.
Yeah, like, there's phallic symbols through the entire movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about just nipple Batman. I'm not talking about, like, there's so much gay undertones, and I'm not saying it as a criticism, but it's just like, that was the first time as an adolescent where I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like... I feel uncomfortable watching this.
This movie's trying to convert me. I don't know. I've actually gone back and tried to rewatch that movie. Because I, like with the other movies we've mentioned, I mean, Ghost Rider, I found things to tolerate. And Hellboy 2, I actually kind of came around on. I mean, I have kind of come around on movies. It's always easier the second time because you can see a movie. I've said this lots of times, probably on the podcast, but the second time you see a movie, you see it for the movie that it is, not the movie that you wanted it to be. And even seeing Batman and Robin for the movie that it is, it's like I keep hoping that I'll sort of rediscover it or feel like, no, it might be a little bit misunderstood. Because I've always found things to like about Batman Forever, even though that's obviously the beginning of the end and there's a lot of bad things in that movie, and most of them rhyme with Rami Ree Rones. but Batman and Robin just takes everything that was terrible about Batman Forever and cranks it up to 20. Uh-huh. I mean,
it's like Joel Schumacher didn't stop. Like, he was like, yeah.
And I think that's what it is. It's just like, no, there was nobody around to tell him no, and it was this runaway train, and they just needed another Batman movie, which is crazy. I mean, Batman Forever is the most successful of that franchise.
That's amazing to me.
Isn't it?
It is.
So it makes sense that they would make another one, but not that it would be the movie that they made. And again, it's that issue of every subsequent sequel, they add another major character.
Yeah, and that's the studios get involved, right, saying, all right, we need more bad guys in this one.
Right. And well, and Batman and Robin, so the second movie you get two villains. The third movie you get two villains and a second hero. Now the third movie we have two, possibly three villains if you include Bane, and you have a third hero because now we have to be able to market Batgirl to young girls. And again, it's one of those things. It's made by studios and toy, a decision made by studios and toy companies, because it's like, wow, a lot of people are seeing this Batman movie. How can we get another section of the audience? Well, we don't have, you know, girls ages 8 to 14. Well, let's put Batgirl in the movie and let's cast Alicia Silverstone. And
we don't have the gays yet. So.
Yeah. Hire Schumacher. Yeah. He'll gay this thing up. And boy, did he. That's a terrible movie. The only other movie I have on my list that I didn't mention, which we already brought up, was Superman IV, The Quest for Peace. you can't even, like, count as a movie because money was being taken away from them as they were shooting that movie. I mean,
as I will say this, though, I hate 3 more than 4.
Really?
Yes.
I hate 3, too. 4 wins because it's so badly made also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, 4 was made for maybe a third or a fourth of the cost of the original, which was made in the 70s. Like,
that's amazing.
It was made for like $17 million. And it shows. I mean, the effects. When he's flying, I mean, it's literally somebody holding up a cardboard cutout, like running towards the camera of Christopher Reeve just doing this. And again, Nuclear Man is a terrible idea. And John Cryer is in it. You know, I hate 3. But 4 wins because it's just so cheap and badly made.
I gotta go back and watch 4. I haven't watched 4 in a long time.
You'll love it. Any on your list that we did not mention?
No, my last one was Punisher, but we sort of mentioned that.
The original, like the Thomas Jane one?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. And I don't even hate that movie.
I just hate it as
a Punisher movie. Like, I don't think it works as a Punisher movie. If it was called something else and maybe John Travolta wasn't in it, I don't think it's a terrible movie.
You absolutely just summed up my feelings.
Way to go, me.
I'm going to just say that it's movie related, and I'm going to kind of go off with Ba said. Now I'm going to start this off by saying I love Prince.
Okay.
He's probably my favorite musician.
Okay.
If you are looking for the worst thing ever to ever be involved with a movie involving superheroes,
yes,
go on the internet,
okay,
and find the Prince Bat Dance music video from the movie.
Oh, I remember it well.
Yeah. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. And I love you, Prince, but wow.
Just him having songs in that movie is a miscalculation, I think. And I don't think the songs are bad necessarily, and I'm not bashing Prince, but it definitely, it smacks of a marketing tie.
Yeah.
How can we have, in addition to having this blockbuster movie and making millions on merchandise, how can we have a best-selling album?
Yep.
Well, we'll get Prince to do the music, because the songs don't really fit. I mean, when he's walking through doing Party Man, okay, fine, but like...
And I love that album. Like, that's what's weird. It's like, well, I own the album.
You love Scandalous?
No, but I mean...
You love Vicky Waiting?
No, I like Party Man and Trust. Yeah. That's it.
Okay. But, so you don't love the album.
Okay, but I like two out of what? There's only like 10 songs on that album, if that, right? All right,
you're talking 20%.
All right, fine.
I think I did.
Wow, did you just hear Patrick put me in my place? That's what just happened.
But Bat Dance, to your point earlier about like producers and directors and stuff, Bat Dance, you see that video and you're like, oh, this is made by someone who has no concept of Batman.
Nothing.
No idea. He just thinks it's people dressing up. Yeah. Like, okay, so he kind of does that.
There's a bunch of ballerinas in Batman costumes, and you're just like, what am I watching?
Right. And we didn't care in 1989. We're like, that's fine. I'm still super stoked to see Batman. Can you imagine now if, like, something comparable came out? If Lady Gaga had a video that came out right before Dark Knight Rises that was, like, a sort of comparable. I mean, we would all blow our heads off collectively. Like, for some reason, we gave it a pass in 89. We're like, that's fine. But now, man, if anything similar, we'd be like, are you kidding? They ruined it. Forget it. They ruined Batman. I'm not even going to go see Dark Knight Rises. I don't even like Dark Knight anymore. So like I said at the beginning, the whole point of doing this podcast is because we're just a few weeks away from this glut of superhero movies that are coming out. I can't wait
for Green Lantern!
Right, so let's...
I'm scared about it.
Early predictions. Let's go on record now, because then maybe at the end of the summer we can recap. But let's give some early predictions. What will be the best comic book movie this summer? What will be the worst? And what will be the happy surprise?
Best in my opinion is going to be Captain America.
Okay.
Best in my opinion is going. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. What do you think your best one's going to be?
X-Men First Class.
I think I agree with you. Although I'm very excited about Captain America, I will say I'm less excited after seeing the extended trailer. And I think I said this to you already, so I apologize. But there's way too much of that Benjamin Button effect, where he is a giant head and a skinny body, like. That effect is not there yet, guys. You got to limit the use of that. Like, one or two scenes, maybe. But all the stuff when he's Captain America looks great. Hugo Weaving excites me as Red Skull. Yeah. So much about it inspires confidence in me, and I am genuinely excited about that movie.
And that it's a period movie, too.
Yeah, right.
It's a great idea.
And that's also what I love about X-Men First Class. And because it's Matthew Vaughn coming off of Kick-Ass, which I love, I worry that movie was insanely rushed. Like, insanely rushed, and I think it's still having problems.
Why were they rushing it?
They needed it out, like, this summer. I don't know. Because he quit X-Men The Last Stand because he didn't want that schedule, you know? It was like, no, this isn't the movie that I can make. I can't make the movie that I want to make in the amount of time that you guys are giving me. And he walked off that, and then all of a sudden he's doing First Class. I don't know. But now...
Wait a minute. I'm sitting with two guys right now.
Yes.
I'm sitting with two guys who... I listened to your Phantom Menace one, and you said prequels don't work. You said you've never had a prequel that worked. So why do you think X-Men First Class is going to work?
For me, it's just another X-Men story. Like, I see what you're saying, but I'm not even really looking at it as a prequel. But, I mean, it technically is. I'm not like, oh, I need to see the relationship fall apart between Magneto and Professor X, because I honestly could care less about that. I just feel like it's another X-Men story that happens to take place in a different time. It's not necessarily filling in a backstory that I need to know about. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I could be wrong, and maybe way too much of it is going to be devoted to just what happened between these two. The trailer is certainly playing up that aspect, and that does not interest me. But
that interests me somewhat.
Really?
Yeah.
No, fuck prequels. X-Men Origins Wolverine. Fuck it, you know? Yeah. Doesn't work. What will be the worst?
I'm so nervous. I can't put this into words.
Yeah.
I can't put it into words. Like, I love the Green Lantern so much.
Yeah.
Like, it is... I've read everything that I can possibly get my hands on. I've bought the archive editions of the old ones from, like, you know, the 40s, and I read those. I love that character so much. And I am so scared I'm going to get Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
I am so scared that I finally get the movie that I've always wanted, and it's going to be terrible. And I've got to be honest, looking at the trailers, they haven't inspired much confidence in me.
No.
I feel like they're just going to throw in, like, hey, here's Sinestro, here's Kilowog, here's Tomar Rae, here's all these characters you love, and they're not... Because for me personally, Hal Jordan, while he is, you know, Green Lantern, he's the guy who defined it, he's not the one I fell in love with. I fell in love with Kyle Rayner.
Okay.
But, like, that's when I started reading that book.
Yeah.
So I'm so... Because I don't think Hal Jordan's as interesting as Kyle Rayner is.
I will say this. I think the trailer looks terrible. I think it looks like somebody saw Iron Man and said, well, let's do that. And he wisecracks and blah, blah, blah. The fact that those characters that you mentioned, and I think you are making up most of those words.
They are all people.
The fact that they are in the movie at all to me, says you have a greater chance of getting the movie that you want because you said, here's all these characters that you love. Guess what? Most people don't love those characters. Most people are put off by those names and those concepts. The fact that they're in the movie suggests that they are making a more faithful Green Lantern that deals with outer space and aliens. And they're not just reducing it to guy on Earth finds ring, guy on Earth has superpowers, guy on Earth defeats villain on Earth, you know? Which is what I think they would have made to make it accessible to the widest possible audience. And I certainly think that's the movie that they're marketing. But I think maybe they're just being cautious and trying not to make it look too weird, for lack of a better word. I could be wrong, because like I said, I did not like that trailer. But the fact that they are including those characters and those elements, to me, suggests that maybe you're going to get the movie that you want.
That's a very good point. I'm going to see the Midnight Show. I'm sitting there with my Green Lantern shirt on, but I'm really... To me, just looking at all four of them, just looking at just the trailers, that's all I've seen.
Yeah.
That's the one I've been least interested in. I know you guys are probably thinking Thor.
Yeah.
I would agree. I think Thor, I have the least confidence in.
Yeah. I think Green Lantern is more of a wild card right now, because with Green Lantern, I feel like it's a marketing issue more than a movie issue. We really haven't seen that much, and I get why they're wanting to market the movie the way they are, with the exception of, like, anything Blake Lively says. I think there's still a movie there, maybe. But Thor, I'm thinking, no, that's the movie we're getting, and it's not going to work.
No.
I don't know, though. I liked Thor. I went to San Diego, and it was like, that was the one they were pushing big in San Diego.
I'm fascinated. The fact that they're making a Thor movie at all is fascinating to me, because, I mean, when I thought, like, Iron Man, do they really think America's going to care about Iron Man? Like, multiply that times 10 for Thor. Like, people are not going to be able to wrap their heads around Thor.
What I like, though, that they're doing was kind of along the lines of Watchmen. Okay, like when they changed the end of Watchmen.
Oh, okay. I'll never forgive them.
Right? But you saw it.
I want giant squids in all my movies.
Yeah, right.
Any movie, I don't care.
What?
Fucking no strings attached. Yeah. I want Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher to kiss, and then a giant squid makes them explode. That's what I want.
But because I got, you know, hey, the mass audiences aren't going to get that. I'm hearing, and I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but they're making Thor like an alien. Mm-hmm. Like he's from not a group of gods, but they're like aliens that are so far advanced that they're like, I could be wrong. I might see the movie and this would be all wrong. But if that's where they're going, I totally get it.
Yeah.
Because
but I'm afraid then we're going to get him like, you know, now the Portman's going to turn on the TV and you'll be like, what is this magic box? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't
like the Thor from
the Hulk movie.
Yes.
It's awful. Awful. You think it's Thor, but it's really just a dude dressed up as a Viking.
And that's what I feel like that whole thing was like. But again, as a kid, man, as a comic book fan, as a kid, that's the best we could do. And you were so excited because, like, Thor's in this, and Daredevil was in Trial of the Incredible Hulk, and it was like, yay, they're doing these characters. Oh my god. I could never have predicted that, like, these would be the summer blockbusters that we would go see, and that they would make a huge movie out of Thor.
Right.
And
I hope I'm wrong. I hope, yeah, I mean, that could be interesting, but I'm afraid that's not.
No, I think that's going to be the bad one. And I think, I have a feeling, and maybe I'm wrong, that Thor will work better in the Avengers than he will in his own movie.
Oh, he's a great background character.
As part of a group, the way he fits into a group to me is way more interesting than, like, him trying to explain Asgard to Natalie Portman and, like, Kat Dennings being like, I'm putting this on Facebook. Stop it. Stop with the jokes. They're not funny. Stop it.
Right.
But what if Marvel is banking so much on these movies because they're putting together the Avengers? Thor comes out, it's this, you know, $150 million movie. They're really hoping it's this huge hit that everybody gets behind Thor, and then they have all these different franchises and they all meet in the Avengers. What if Thor is a huge, colossal failure? And then what if Captain America disappoints also? Like, what do they do for the Avengers? Do they quickly rewrite, or do they just hope people are still going to go see the Avengers just because...
They put all their cards on the table on this
one. Which is
great. They can't. They can't.
Super ambitious, you know, and I love that they're doing it, but it's untested.
one, I think, I do think these movies will be successful.
Okay.
Two, if they're not, I still don't know that they panic, because Avengers is still has Iron Man and
still has Hulk
and Hulk, right. And it has Robert Downey Jr.
Right. And it has a bunch of superheroes, yes. Even if they're ones that had their own movie and you didn't like it or see it.
Right.
You still want to go see the movie with 8 superheroes.
Right. So, you know, it's not going to help, but I don't know how much
it's funny. Hurt. I started going to, like, the place where do you draw the line on a character who can support his own movie.
Right.
And can't, and like, when they, oh yeah, we're going to make an Ant-Man movie. Like, what?
Well, again, but Ant-Man was going to be Edgar Wright. And an Edgar Wright Ant-Man movie, I would go see in a heartbeat, because right. I know exactly what that movie would be. And I would totally go see that. But, you know, if they wanted to take it seriously and then have him, like, incorporated into the Avengers and all that, I don't think that they could do.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah.
But as a one-off that, like, Edgar Wright does on his own, yeah, I think that could work.
Where do they stand? Because I know they talked about, for a while, running 10-minute short films.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, based on like the more like B characters,
right?
Like Doctor Strange.
Yeah, which I thought was a really cool idea.
Right.
Just a way to sort of introduce those characters, and I don't know what they would do with them in the long run, but you know,
Thor's a marginal character, man. I don't know. I just don't know if he's gonna work.
I don't either. I hope it does. But
yeah, we'll know in like a month, yeah. Right? I'm interested. I don't know. The thing that excites me most, maybe, about the Avengers is Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye.
I think that's great
casting, and I'm excited about that character interacting with some of those other guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Agreed.
But that's me.
And I like Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner.
I do too. I'm just bugged that it's a different actor.
I wish
they could have gotten Edward Norton, but
I agree.
Oh, well.
And this from the guy who doesn't want to fast forward to the good part.
What do you mean?
Like, when I said that I put on the X-Men movie and fast forward to certain parts.
Yeah.
Just saying, like, you know, like, I can see why you would be upset.
I'm all about continuity. Oh, yeah. It bugs me. Especially when they've worked so hard to set up this universe that interacts. And it's like, sure. You know, we couldn't get the same actor because we didn't want to pay him. He was a pain in the ass. Wah. Whatever.
Yep.
Anyway, I guess that's our show. Or shows, as it will probably end up being.
Cutting it in two. A best and worst list.
That's right. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember to email us with your picks for best and worst comic book movie at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Last words?
Rosebud.
Last words?
Hey, now.
Nuff said. I win.